This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reins.
I'm Mark Edge.
And just over the course of the last few minutes when we were live with you, Mark was telling me about some incident that you got to be careful about the animals that are in the shelter and where they go. And I'm not going to ask you to relay that, but it did make me think of a story that leads you to think that everything they say about how evil the people in Washington are, they are. Because back around 2003, the Republicans had control of the Senate in the United States, and Bill Frist, a senator from Tennessee, was the leader of the majority then. And he was actually an MD. And, you know, I don't know who would want to read his memoir. I mean, it certainly is a higher level of authority and influence. And, I mean, I will never be a doctor and the Senate Majority Leader. I'm pretty sure about that. Clock's ticking on that.
It is an achievement.
But in his memoir, he talked about his med school days and how he would go to the shelter and adopt a cat, and then he would dissect the cat on the table of his apartment. And there's so many questions that come to your mind about that, maybe only two or three questions, really. But the question in my mind was, why would you tell anybody this?
Yes, why would you do that?
Yes, and it just so happens that was the first time I got to host a radio show on my own. It was around 2003. It was just a fill-in. And it turned out there was a cat mutilator in Arizona. And I got the tip line, and I dropped the dime on Senator Bill Frist. It was just a recording. But I'm sure they were checking the flight logs as they heard about it.
Well, it is, I mean, on one hand, of course, that especially at that time, what, the 50s, 40s, maybe?
Oh, he was...
He was old then. It's 20 years ago.
Maybe the late 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
2003, and you figure he was in his 60s, so...
Okay. Even at that time, certainly, they weren't, you know, concerned with cats getting dissected by promising medical students, but it sure does sound strange going to the shelter.
You would think that eventually people would become suspicious when he kept coming back. Oh, it ran away again.
Just need another cat.
You have a bigger one?
Well, one wonders how many times he bothered to do it. I mean, you're not going to find anything new in the cat.
Which makes me think of Elon Musk again. Another reason why you need the hashtag the real cage fight so that you become hashtag the master of media is because I have read an article. I don't have it here, and I don't want to gross everybody out. But it was the diary notes from the testing of the Neuralink. That's one of his projects. He doesn't have enough. Was the Neuralink that you have implants in the brain, and you'll solve paralysis or bad thinking or whatever.
Right. Well, I think the first thing the first thing is the paralysis, but likely it's all about the new add-ons to human minds.
Yes, but they show a picture of this. Or I forget what kind of monkey it was. A relatively big one. And it's got, its head is sticking through a hole in the feeding box where, so he or she couldn't move. And you have these people writing observations about how his or her behavior is changing.
My behavior would change if I was stuck in a glory hole too.
What? You want to elaborate on that?
Well, it would change.
I didn't know they were generally big enough to put your head through.
I don't know how it all works.
Certainly was on your mind.
Admittedly, I was stuck.
Well, that's why the Republican Party is coming apart at the seams, according to, whoever wrote this story here that I have. Because there were two special elections last week. And Democrats won and outperformed their traditional margins by 10 points.
Both?
Yes. One was in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And the other was outside of Pittsburgh, which flipped the Pennsylvania State House. And that is going on with, seems to be a trend line these last couple of years, since the last general election. And on the other hand, we have the Republican Party, and I was just checking. I don't see anything new about the shutdown other than they haven't found a way to not shut down yet. And so do you think the Republican Party may be playing the wrong cards for the electorate?
Well, clearly they're not getting good results at this time. And these sort of special elections are always used as a weather vane as to how things are going to go.
How the horse race is going.
Right. And I think they're important to, you know, just to sort of look at, because we don't really know anything until the election occurs. There's all these polls and this and that, but you really don't know until it happens. However, I would say this. Democrats know all of this information, and in the case of the special election, they dumped, supposedly, according to people in New
Hampshire.
Which
one? The New Hampshire?
The New Hampshire special election. They dumped tens of thousands of dollars into the New Hampshire special election in a district that spends nothing. And so, you know, I mean, one could write it off due to that, or who knows? But, I mean, both sides have reasons to hope. The Democrats have the hope of, well, Republicans are the dog that caught the car on abortion, and they're messing it up. And it's hard to argue at that point, no doubt. And this is a big issue to a lot of Americans, whether Republicans want to believe that or not. On the other hand, Joe Biden's economy isn't making everyone happy. There's a lot of people who feel like, you know, well, the reality is that, you know, the paychecks aren't worth what they used to be. The people can buy less, and, you know, a variety of things. That money's still flowing from the 90% to the top 10%. Who knows why, but problem that isn't going to make
people... It's the circle of life.
It's the circle of life, right? Till the revolution comes, and then we all tear it down and do it all over again.
And then we all live in poverty.
Right.
But we'll be equal.
Poverty, but equal. So... what's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, I see the Republicans are, you know, giddy with how they're going to win, and the Democrats are giddy with how they're going to win.
The shutdown, though, that doesn't seem to be anything I hear people out in the far pickleball courts of my surroundings talking about.
What shutdown?
Pardon me?
What shutdown are you talking about?
The budget shutdown that they're not going to. This is the strange thing, that we have an appropriation process that the House, United States House of Representatives does, and they allocate money, and that's the constitutional job of them. And then, even though it's appropriated, and we've been running a debt ceiling for effectively forever, they have to then okay to borrow the money that they've already appropriated for spending. And I don't think people really understand why they have to hold the gun to the proverbial head to get the money they already appropriated when they signed off on it.
They keep choosing to do this. So they can raise the debt ceiling as much as they want to raise it when they raise it, but they keep choosing to raise it a little bit. Assumed premise is that, don't worry, in 1 year we will have our crap together and we will stop spending so much. So the debt to GDP ratio is staggering. I mean, it's just skyrocketed in the recent past, and whatever that means, we don't know what it means, but you know, the bankers.
Well, you have these periodic crises when that happens, and then it shrinks again. So we have
shrunk.
Well, it shrinks relative to what it expanded to. And the other
the debt hasn't gone down yet.
As a percentage of the GDP.
Okay.
No, the debt doesn't go down, but as a percentage, you know, they're not trying to get rid of the debt. They're trying to keep it within the parameters of
sure.
a certain range. And so, like when we had the great financial crisis in 2007-2008, you know, there was a bunch of extra spending on that to try and prop up the economy. And then eventually it worked through. And then as we got into the Obama years, the size of the deficit relative to the budget shrunk. And then we had the COVID era
Don't confuse the deficit with the debt. The deficit is how much you're adding to the debt. The debt itself has, basically, there's been almost no drops in
debt. The deficit as a percentage of the GDP.
Well, the deficit to GDP, I think, is relatively irrelevant. It's how irresponsible are the politicians in Washington? Less irresponsible than last year or more irresponsible than last year? Whereas the debt to GDP is, I mean, it's just stayed high. And if there's a good ratio of debt to GDP, we've blown past it, is what my premise would be. Now, I won't claim to know what the debt is going to do, but I will claim that U.S. bonds have been diminished in their rating in the past, and presumably if our debt continues...
Well, some of that has come from the threatened shutdowns, too.
Indeed. It does. Yeah. You know, so I don't know. I remember that Milton Friedman said that the debt doesn't matter. Now, he said this when the debt to GDP was, you know, 20% as opposed to 120%, which is where it is now. And so, I mean, you know, I don't know what he means when he says it. I'm just looking here at the Peter G. Peterson Foundation with their national debt has risen drastically over the past year. This is from World War II, reached over 100% in World War II, then it just sort of fell down through the following decades, and it has gone above 100% since, looks like about the mid, like 2016, 2017, somewhere around there.
Well, it's funny you said that percentage that was attributed to Milton Friedman, because I remember back in the 70s, reading back in the 70s, there used to be these things called newspapers. And they had opinion pages, and sometimes there were guest writers.
Yeah.
And I remember Ted Kennedy had a guest opinion, probably came from the Washington Post and New York Times, but it somehow made
a national debt.
Yeah. Well, he made the case that the deficit was running about, the budget deficit was running about 22%. And I believe that meant of 22% of the budget. And that, you know, it had done that such and such time, and now it's doing it again. And this was at the height of one of the first oil crises in the 70s.
Yeah.
And he goes like, we can do this forever. I paraphrased.
Yeah. I can do this all day.
He his staff person made it sound a lot smoother in the editorial. But that's 70, 1970, 30, 45 years ago, and we ran it in the 60s. Look at the way how we ballooned the deficit, the budget deficit in World War II. So as long as we have the currency.
To be clear, the debt to GDP ratio is higher now than it was in World War II. That means we owe more. We as a country owe more than compared to GDP than we do now.
Okay, what were those numbers?
So World War II, at the peak of World War II, it reached, it just looked over the top of 100%. And we left 100% in the rear view mirror in, I'm going to call it 2017. It doesn't exactly say here, but maybe 2020.
Oh, right after the tax cuts from the Trump administration.
Oh, I'm not claiming it's the Democrats. I would never do that. I have on the air been assiduous that both sides have been responsible for the spending. If a national debt to GDP ratio is bad above 100%, I don't know. But if it is, both sides. Well,
what is the actual size of it compared to that?
So, the size of it compared to that, it has reached, according to this, in 20. Well, this goes above. This is the current line. So, it peaked above 100%, and this, I'm sorry, what I was looking at here was where it has never looked back, was from 2023 to 2033. This is the future. It should be in a different color, just to sort of let people know. But basically, it peaked above 100% in both World War II and now. So this crisis
we had
that we're seeing is a crisis on the level of World War II.
No, that's apples and oranges.
Okay.
Nobody was dying. Well, actually, they were dying in the pandemic, but nobody was rounding up millions of American sons and daughters to send them over to Europe to fight.
Indeed.
And the good news is we've had some real high inflation numbers. So, you know, that shrinks the real value of the deficit.
Well, right. The GDP is going to go up because inflationary numbers have increased, for sure. So I agree with that.
All right.
I don't know what to say. Is America's future looking up? I'll give you some good some things to think about. First off, who's going to take its place?
Well, there's probably some people in China that have an idea.
China thinks they are, but China had that one-child policy for a very, very long time, and they have a huge demographic crisis that they're going to have to be dealing with in the future. They're either, and this is my conspiracy mind runs off with COVID and says, COVID was designed to wipe out Chinese old people so that Xi Jinping didn't have to worry about them. But yeah, it's just a conspiracy theory. I'm not going to try to back it up any further than that. If I was an evil ruler, I would try to wipe out my own old people that are no longer valuable.
But you're a Quaker.
I wouldn't do that, yeah. Then again, neither would Nixon, who was also a Quaker. I just don't think China has what it takes to take over the brass ring, take the ring of power from the United States. And there's nobody who's second, nobody who's even close.
India is approaching to be the third largest economy in the world.
If India can cut its bureaucracy, and
they have the demographics in favor of their more productive age groups.
Indeed, I agree 100%. If India can cut its bureaucracy, or the United States continues to keep upwardly mobile Indians out of the United States, a la Trump, because, you know, it's crazy, crazy to keep the best minds in the world out. I mean, you are a xenophobe of the highest order if you're like, nope, you got a college degree? Nope, you can't stay. You bought a college degree from us, but you've got to get out now. What, are you crazy? Keep the people with the college degrees. Keep everybody who comes to this country who has an IQ above 115. If they've got a standard deviation above the mean, keep them. Are you crazy? Kick them out?
Well, demographically, we do need the laborers. We have a labor shortage right now.
I'm not trying. Certainly, this is just an argument to keep the intelligent. And by the way, a smart hole digger is a better hole digger than a dumb one. You don't need to take every smart person and throw them into the space program or something like that. Smart people can do all kinds of work. I mean, a smart plumber is a better plumber than a dumb plumber. And that's that.
Might say if you manage to bring your family up through Central America, get crossed into the border, probably are pretty resourceful.
As far as I'm concerned, you could solve the crisis, immigration crisis, if we want to use such a term, by simply stop handing out money. If you put out a bowl of cat food every morning in front of your door and then complain that stray cats come and eat that cat food, you're a crazy person. Stop putting the cat food out.
Oh, I thought you meant my bedroom door. My cats would be there.
Right. I'm talking about your front door, yes. but, you know, if people come to this country to work, not to receive welfare, I say welcome them with open arms. And, frankly, I would create a blue card program that would create a second-class citizenship that says, hey, you're going to come to this country.
I think you need a different euphemism.
Why is that?
Than second-class citizenship.
I understand, but I'm just honest. Go to Honduras right now.
No.
Well, okay, you can go with me anytime you want. But go to Honduras and ask a few people around, hey, if you could come to the United States, but you would never be able to vote and you'd never be able to receive welfare, would you come? And they'd say, see. They'd be all over it because that would be a step up for them. Democrats don't want that because they want those voters. The Republicans don't want it because they think they have to pay for all the benefits, and largely they don't.
I was with you there until your final analysis there.
What's that? Democrats want people to come from foreign countries to vote Democrat?
The Democrats can be patient and let those people that cut in have babies, and those will be, in their minds, Democratic voters.
Likely true, unless the Republicans change their ways.
And what was the other part of the Republicans' point of view was?
The Republicans' point of view is they don't want people coming for... The Republican point of view is they don't want people coming to the United States for basically three reasons, one of which they can stick up their patootie. The first two reasons are, A, they're going to vote Democrat. Well, of course they're going to vote Democrat. You've told them they're subhuman. People don't vote for parties that tell them that they're subhuman. Second reason is because there's lots of welfare given away to people who come to this country. And it's true. In some cases, especially the refugees, they get all kinds of money. But a lot of people who are not refugees are not getting any at all. In fact, they're paying into the system that they don't receive anything from. So there's this huge wide gamut. The third is, they're taking our jobs. And if you can't compete against an illiterate Central American for your job, screw you.
There's another reason is that there is a paranoia about the browning of America. And there's a whole lot of people that don't like to have to compete just in the diversity of it all.
America was worried about the browning of America when the Italians were coming, and when the Spanish were coming, and when the Portuguese were coming.
But then we made them white people.
Right, and now they've been slid on over. Well, we did it with the Asians, too. The first anti-immigration laws in this country were anti-Chinese and anti-Japanese, what they called the Yellow Man laws in the 1880s. And now those people are basically honorary Aryans, as Roosevelt would say.
And actually those laws stuck around into the 60s and 70s, along with other laws that finally were removed after the Civil Rights Movement. You couldn't have a Buddhist temple in California until the late 60s or early 70s.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we'll get more of this on the other side of these messages. You're listening to Reins and Edge on Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA News Update. The UAW strike is going to spread to more locations as the strike continues. President Biden's hopes for an early resolution are dwindling as the strike plans to spread to at least 38 different locations across 20 states. Thousands more plan to walk out Friday afternoon and join the roughly 12,700 union members that took part in the initial strike on September 15th. A tropical storm warning is being issued for parts of the East Coast this weekend. Dave Collins has more.
The National Hurricane Center issued the warning from just below Wilmington, North Carolina, up to the Maryland-Delaware state line. Storm surge watch was also issued for parts of the coastline.
And the global release of the iPhone 15 is drawing big crowds today. Long lines formed at the New York City Apple Store this morning as customers eagerly awaited the latest smartphone. The base iPhone 15 is priced at $800, while the more advanced models start at $1,100. Skip Kelly, USA News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
Mark, what's on your mind?
This question. So there's this constitutional change that is kind of been proposed in.
Have you been changing your diet? Has that affected your constitution?
No.
Walking more?
Yes. I try to walk all the time.
Because right. You got that big fight coming up, or you need to stay on top of that.
I sincerely hope that doesn't happen. There's a constitutional change that will be proposed in New Hampshire. I'm working with some people to get this particular change.
Oh, you're the instigator.
I am among the people who were the first to suggest this.
You're one of the troublemakers.
Right. And this constitutional change, and I'm asking you, you know, a guy who's just sort of, you're not in the libertarian sphere, you got some leanings here and there, but largely you're just sort of a Democratic voter. A well-informed one.
I still don't think they can make you king of New Hampshire.
They'd be better off. So, in this circumstance, basically what we're trying to do is drive a stake through the heart of partisan politics. Yes, that's the Democrats, but yes, it's the Republicans, too. And you have to consider, as a Democrat, in the state of New Hampshire, the Republicans really have had always had the power. And they're not likely to lose it anytime soon.
Well, now let me just stop you for a second.
Yep.
So you want to drive a stake into the heart of partisan politics.
Correct.
So you want to drive a stake into human nature to... Okay.
Well, I think we have to... That's what states are for, is experimentation. And I have a question. Let me tell you how the constitutional change would come, and then I'll hit you with a question. So this would basically be a situation where any law that went through... This is not the budget. The budget, I think, has to pass by 50%, because otherwise it won't necessarily get through. But just imagine every law that gets changed. Now, New Hampshire has three. It's tricameral. It's not bicameral. It has a House, which has 400 members.
Mm-hmm.
It has a Senate, which has, I think, 25, if I'm correct. And it has an executive committee, which has five. So any
is
law,
the governor one of those?
The governor is not on the executive committee. He's the fourth check on any law that goes through. Now, the executive committee is only for laws that have spending parameters. So if there's no spending, it doesn't go through the executive committee. But functionally, everything has spending to it now, and so everything goes to the executive committee.
So let me just – you have the executive committee that controls the money.
Correct. But the budget goes through the House, I believe.
So they rubber stamp it, whatever the executive committee sends?
I don't know. I mean,
They amend it?
I haven't worked in this,
this
sphere. I
don't want to digress you.
Just to tell you how it fits together. So the idea is essentially to make it, for any law to pass, it has to get a two-thirds supermajority. And for any law to be undone, taken off the books, you would take a... it would simply take...
That's what you're proposing?
Yes.
Any law to be undone, what was the requirement?
50% to undo a law.
51%?
50% plus one, right. And that way it would turn... for one, it would clean up the books. How can anyone know what all the laws are? And
why do they need to know?
So that they don't violate them.
Yeah.
Okay. You see the problem, though. You get that people oftentimes don't even know. They don't.
I don't know that I need to know the laws about the building code for high-rises because I'm not building one.
Sure. And my guess would be that the building codes for high-rises in New Hampshire are probably behind the building codes for high-rises in other locations. Plus the fact that if you don't build your high-rise correctly, it's going to fall down. So you ought to build it correctly.
You'll be long gone.
Do we really need government bureaucrats slowing down the process to build? Okay, I get that that's what you think. However, as a...
That's what my experience with human nature tells me, yes.
Okay. This is an experiment in order to see whether or not fewer laws might be a better thing. Because one thing's for sure, that the libertarians are taking over in New Hampshire. And
that's for sure?
Yeah, it's happening. I've got a Boston NBC, I think it is, series for you to take a look at. I think it's Live Free or Die in New Hampshire or something like that. It's a great piece, and it shows, as unbiasedly as they can, what's happening in New Hampshire. So, anyway, basically what this would do is make it so no particular party could take control of any house and get its stuff through. So, yes, it destroys the Democrats, but it also destroys the Republicans in the process. And the presumption is that a state is just there to serve the people in the state, not a political party. And if a law is good enough, it ought to be agreed upon by two-thirds of the representatives of people.
But you have to elect these people.
They will be elected by a 50% majority, yes.
And who's going to work to get the people elected?
Presumably, if the parties... But first, it'll be the parties, right?
But the purpose of a political party, the real purpose, is to get people elected to accumulate power.
Can you name one New Hampshire... one politician that's ever come out of New Hampshire?
Sununu.
Yeah, that's the only one I could name, too.
No. I'm going on now. Wasn't that Gene Shaheen or...
Gene Shaheen. So you've got a couple of senators there. However, I think that the political parties in New Hampshire, because there's 400 representatives, 400 of them.
Yes.
The political parties don't do that much for them. So what do we really need in this circumstance? They're just... Nobody knows who they're voting for in New Hampshire. They just say, well, I'm mad at the president. The president's a Republican, so I'm going to vote for a Democrat. Or I'm happy with the president. The president's a Republican, so I'm going to vote for the Republicans. Or whatever. They make some very mild calculation. And then they go and they vote that way. That the vast majority of the voters have no clue who they're voting for in the vast majority of elections. That's my premise in New Hampshire. I think it's true largely around America.
How big is the vast majority?
66%. 66% of voters don't know who they're voting for in 66% of elections. And I don't mean going to the poll as an election. I mean voting for the registrar of deeds and voting for the tax collector and voting for each one of those. Like, they just don't know who these people are. And if they don't have a party to help them out, they just look at the last name and they say, oh, I knew an Anderson in school. I'll vote for the Anderson. And that makes people with weird ethnic names less likely to be voted in, and people with ordinary last names more likely to be voted in. Names like Reigns and Edge. So,
are we running?
We are not. We are
not running. I looked away for a second, and I didn't know I was running.
I don't think you're eligible to run for office. Actually would be.
If you don't have political parties, then you will have financial interest to back these people to pass the laws that they want passed.
Another thing about the New Hampshire House is that basically there's no money given to anyone to run the House. Like, nobody gets any money because there's 400.
As in a salary?
Well, the salaries are $200 every 2 years, and there's no payoffs. The lobbyists don't even bother in New Hampshire either, because it's not worth it trying to deal with this big, cumbersome body that has.
What's the biggest industry in New Hampshire? Free Talk Live?
Tree sap and rocks are the biggest exports. I know that much. So maple syrup and granite countertops are, you know, big things. There's a tech corridor that runs between Nashua and Manchester that's kind of a outcropping of the Boston market. That's about it.
Tourism?
Of course, people come to Leaf Peep, but it's not like Florida.
No, it isn't.
Florida's a very special place in the United States. So, now, if you think about it this way, maybe I'll be successful and maybe I won't in driving a stake through the heart of partisan politics. However, if...
Wait, what was the proposal again?
The proposal is to make it a two-thirds majority to pass a law.
Okay.
And that the idea is if something's important enough to throw somebody in prison over, at the very least you should be able to get two-thirds of the citizen politicians.
What do you need to pass a constitutional amendment?
Two-thirds. So, effectively, everything would be a constitutional amendment. There's a little bit more to a constitutional amendment, but this is just to make it easy.
You got to get it on the ballot.
No, I don't think it's voted on by politicians in New Hampshire. This is a very old system.
Right.
Not like the ones where, in Florida, for instance, a constitutional amendment can be passed by two-thirds of the voters on the ballot. Like the super-fast choo-choo that was supposed to run from... 60%?
Yeah.
It was supposed to run from Miami to Orlando to Tampa or whatever, and then a decade later, after they saw the spending and how many...
No, that's not how it went. Rick Scott killed it.
Okay. Tell me about it.
He just refused to take the money and move it forward.
Well, people voted against it, right?
No.
Ultimately, it was taken off the Constitution. I mean, somehow.
I don't remember it that way.
Okay.
We don't have it either way.
Either way, you don't have a bullet train. And I wonder what the value of a bullet train is anyway. But if a bullet train was needed, the marketplace would have provided.
Well, we'll never know the value if we never have one.
That's true. We'll never know. And I'm sure the car manufacturers appreciate it. So, what do you think about the idea of getting more politicians to vote for any given law? Because I kind of have a problem
with... Sounds like gridlock. But that's your point. That's what you want.
I am trying to create gridlock, indeed. Yeah. But I think more realistically, I'd like any law to pass to actually have...
I think I like the constitutional amendment to make you king better.
Okay. I'm in. But unlikely.
Then you can just governed by edict.
So you don't like it because it creates gridlock?
Well, it doesn't sound like there's much going on in New Hampshire that would make a difference to me either way, but I'm trying to have you
Move yourself mentally to New Hampshire just to see what the man on the street would think about this proposal.
Well, I think to relate to it, the best I could do would be to think of some of the rural areas of Florida or the South, and you still need laws, and you need to... I remember in the 70s when I went to the University of Florida, the next county over, Levy County, I believe it was, had no building code whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You could do whatever you wanted on your land. And it was very sparsely populated at that time. But places where people can do whatever they want, you know, dump whatever toxic stuff they want to do on their...
Presumably, if you dump toxic stuff, you're open to a tort from your neighbors. Now, that's not to say that... I mean, this is just because you...
They would have to prove damages. And they would have to have the financial wherewithal to move it forward.
They would
and
have to prove
and
damages.
Really, the people who had cancer 30 years later, you know, what does the previous owner care about that? They're long gone.
Indeed. I think that there are issues with that particular thing. But, you know, what's stopping somebody who wants to dump toxic stuff from dumping it right now? I mean, you know, there's still the same issues that they're just dumping it.
Well, the law doesn't stop you.
No.
Getting caught breaking the law is what stops you.
Sure. But getting caught dumping, you know, some kind of toxic waste when your neighbors know about it, I think that there's a reasonable presumption that it will cause damages and it will get into the water supply. So, therefore, you can't do it.
We have a situation right here in Manatee County where they had a phosphate mine, and it was almost a huge ecological disaster about a year ago. If you don't know about phosphate mines, you have the gypsum sacks, and which are toxic material. You also have the water that was stored on the site. The phosphate mine was active in the 60s and I think early 70s. It had gone through a couple different changes of ownership and property, and so there, we almost had a huge ecological disaster in this county.
Were they still mining, or they had stopped mining?
It stopped. And, you know, some people, you know, it changed ownership a couple times. They didn't even know who to go after, and it was all going to fall on the state to clean it up.
Sure.
Our solution is we're digging a big hole and we're going to shove it down farther underneath the limestone.
Yeah. Yep, that sounds like what you would do in that circumstance. I mean, what would be the other options?
Well, regulations are more stricter than they were in the 60s.
I'll bet.
When this all happened. But, yeah, so there's an example right there why you have toxic waste and no recourse.
The practical resources.
Because I'm going to the point that you said, why would you need a regulation? Because you would have the recourse of a tort.
Yeah.
And I would just suggest that that isn't relevant most of the time.
I think that is correct that in the 60s, people probably didn't pay as much attention to things like you know, toxic waste and stuff like that, whereas now we would be paying close attention. And workers would report it to news agencies who would then, you know, spread it far and wide, and then, you know, whatever the whatever the thing is that occurred would be enforced. I don't know, but my presumption is that 200, 300 years of a state, they probably have all the laws that they particularly need. So if they need a new law, that we should be able to get 2/3 of politicians to agree on it. If, presuming, they're not just rigidly...
I think there's technological changes that happen in 200 or 300 years.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, probably the Internet isn't poisoning anything.
Say that again real slowly so that people can hear that.
The Internet isn't poisoning the people's minds, I suppose.
Well, that's a thing right there.
Well, we don't need regulation for that. People have to decide what they're going to read and consume.
No. You have...
New Hampshire isn't going
to
regulate.
For people to make a decision, they need to have information to make an informed decision.
Sure.
And if... if you don't understand how the different financial interests and marketing interests are tracking your children and catering to them and trying to push them into a certain behaviors, then how are you going to make a decision on that?
The only two organizations that I can think of that have any effect on real changes on the internet are the U.S. government and the EU government. And anything else is too small or too fringe, too authoritarian, to affect those things. So New Hampshire's legislature for a state of 1.3, 1.4 million people isn't going to be able to change the internet. They can say whatever they want. And remember, a new state government is only 35 miles away from any point in New Hampshire. So, there's no way to say that the internet from Vermont is somehow different than the internet from New Hampshire.
What about Dash? What about, do you think people that own Dash shouldn't make rules about Dash? The current cryptocurrency I'm referring to?
They have...
Not the laundry detergent?
They have their own governing body that makes their own rules.
Well, maybe, I don't know. You've convinced me. I don't think people should be making decisions for other people.
Well, the Dash DAO makes rules for Dash.
All right, well, let's find a little bit more out about Dash.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Well, I guess I cleared that up. So Mark wants the gridlock in New Hampshire.
Well, the gridlock in New Hampshire is already had. I'm just asking questions about this idea.
You want to take credit for it now.
Okay. It doesn't need to have my name on it. As a matter of fact, I've gotten a team of people I'm happy that they take all the credit in the world.
How big is this team?
There's like three or four people that are pushing this. It'll either happen or it won't, and it's either a good idea or it's not. I don't know.
Are these paid people?
No.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
New Hampshire special. Nobody's paid in New Hampshire. None of the politicians are paid there. The senators, 25 senators, receive $100 per year.
They must be getting in something gratification of
some
kind.
One would think they're getting some kind of gratification, no doubt. I'd be willing to bet the legislators aren't. I've seen many legislators quit for a term so that they could go and make a little more money so they could come back and be a legislator again.
What's the average age of the legislature? They skew older?
Well, everybody, yes, of course they skew older than the population, but they skew younger than... say the U.S. House of Representatives.
Well, that's
pretty easy, right?
Yes.
Well, there's no paycheck, so it causes,
Yeah, once you're in the House, you don't want to let go. You got all the perks, and it's a great club to be a member in.
And power is addictive. Schwarzenegger said so, and I believe him.
Yes. Well, it's not time for Hasta La Vista yet, baby, but we're getting close to that moment where we have to take some messages to find out and become better informed. What else you got there, Mark? Anything?
Well, I got several stories that we could go through. The study that finds that constitutional carry laws reduce murder rates. East Cleveland police officers who pull people over and rob them and were sentenced to prison. And 7,000 years to achieve Greta Thunberg's renewable energy fantasy. And 3,000 reservists are made ready to deploy to Europe, one would presume, for Ukrainian war.
On the other side, let's do either B or D.
Okay.
Because I can relate to both of those.
All right.
The B was the...
cops?
That rob people.
Yep.
That strikes very close to home here in this part of the
country.
Yeah,
this is a little... bit by Tom Woods here, a blog post by Tom Woods, talking about you wouldn't even know that this happened, that Joe Biden ordered 3,000 reservists to be ready for deployment. What's that?
That's D.
That's D.
Yeah. B and D.
B is East Cleveland police officers pulled over people and robbed them, sentenced to prison. Their arrests are connected to a wider corruption investigation of the East Cleveland Department. But, you know, I would ask...
Cleveland, Ohio?
Yeah. When somebody is in power, like, who's watching the Watchers is the question.
Alan Moore.
That's the author of The Watchmen?
Yeah, that was just an obscure reference that I was throwing out there for the people. It's like
Watchmen's
an Easter egg.
Probably one of the most widely known comics available. I mean, not comic characters certainly, but they took the Carlton characters. DC took the Carlton characters and kind of modernized them in the 80s and made this really great book.
And then they actually bought the Charlton characters.
Okay.
But these were what's the word we're searching for here? Where you they were an homage to the Charlton characters.
Yeah, they weren't the actual Charlton characters. They were all just very similar. I don't know who Rorschach was supposed to be in the
probably the Question.
The Question. Okay, and that was created by the Ditka, right?
Yes. Well, important stuff like that we'll get to on the other side of these messages. You're listening to Reins and Edge on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.